Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Hyperion Hub, your meeting place for all things Disney. Now your hosts.
Hello and welcome to the Hyperion Hub, your meeting place for all things Disney. I'm John Alois, joined by Sean Dagenhart.
Uno.
And John Redlingschaefer.
Duo.
This week we are on location at Zeke's Comics and Games in Washington, Illinois. But before we get to why we are here, we want to let you know we are on social media. Please give us a follow. Email us at podcast@thehyperionhub.com. Wherever you're listening to us, please subscribe so you never miss an episode. And also, please leave us a rating and review so more people find the show. Time for our Disney views. And since we are at Zeke's Comics and Games, we thought we would talk a little bit about some of the games you can play on property at Walt Disney World. Let's start with Sean.
The only game we've played, and I've heard of all of them that we're going to be talking about, but the only one we've actually done is the Pirate's Adventure, Treasure of the Seven Seas, over in Adventureland in Magic Kingdom. Captain Jack needs your help. According to the Disney World website, you head over to the Crow's Nest and pick up a talisman that magically allows you to read a secret treasure map. Then it's all hands on deck as you fend off enemies, evade capture, and hunt for treasure. It was fun. You got a map and you kind of followed along, and there was a lot of interactive things going on all through Adventureland near the Pirates attraction.
How long does it take to play the game?
It says each of the five missions takes about 20 minutes to complete, and you can take as much time as you want. But it was something fun and a little different to do. No line waiting.
I think we've done all five missions, so you get a different map each time, and it's a cool souvenir, too.
Our favorite, I think, was the cannon firing. That was kind of neat.
So throughout Adventureland, there are hidden surprises, essentially, and as you're going on these missions. So yeah, I agree, the cannon's cool. It's all throughout that area by pirates,
and it fits it perfectly, the whole pirate theme.
Absolutely.
Well, now I'm a little bummed because I have a fond memory of Agent P's World Showcase game, but I'm excited. The next time we're down, we're going to try the new version, which is Disney's DuckTales World Showcase Adventure. That is, according to the Disney website, a chance to seek the seven plunders of the world. We join Scrooge McDuck, his nephews, and friends as they travel around Epcot World Showcase on a quacky quest, careful, to find the priceless seven lost magic treasures and return them to their rightful owners. So I'm guessing this is an opportunity to see all of the countries in the World Showcase, but this time we're looking for treasure rather than stopping Professor Doofenshmirtz.
Is Launchpad there to help make sure you get to each country safely?
It's an interesting question. It looks like between Scrooge, you also have to help Huey, Dewey, Louie, and Webby.
Ah.
Webby, as they follow clues, defeat some villains, and uncover the missing artifacts. After all, anything is possible when we help each other.
You're probably a little safer without Launchpad.
Not the best pilot when it comes to safety considerations. Yeah. That's true.
Okay, we're getting into the holiday gift-giving season, and we thought we would take a look at the brand-new collectible card game by Disney. That's very popular right now. It's called Lorcana. And to explain what the game is all about, we bring in Zeke's employee, Palmer Snell. Thanks for joining us, Palmer.
How's it going?
Excellent. Now that you're with us. Some of us have heard of popular card games like Magic the Gathering and Pokemon. Please tell us about Lorcana.
So Lorcana is kind of a mixture, I think, of everything. Whenever I play a new card game, I try to relate what the card game is to one I've played before. And Lorcana really has a mix of Magic and then the easiness of Pokemon. So it flows together to make it easier for new players and for kids to play, which is something I think is really cool. And there's a whole competitive scene for anybody who's not a kid and wants to get really into a game like this.
Explain the basics of collectible card games.
So most games will have packs and different cards you can buy. Most of it, you open a pack and you get 10 to 15 random cards, and there could be a really expensive card or a really rare card, and then the rest are commons. It's almost like buying a lottery ticket. You gamble to see if you can get something good, and if you don't, well, then you have cards to play with. So you can really use everything you pull out of a pack.
All right, so my children would call me a noob when it comes to this. Explain to me, how do you play? You have a pack, so then what?
Usually decks will consist of about 60 cards. With Lorcana, there's actually a really cool thing. There's no minimum, or there's no maximum of cards. Most card games, you have a maximum, like Magic, you can play with 100 cards or 60 cards. Pokemon is 60, and then Yu-Gi-Oh, which is another card game, is like another 100. With Orcana, you can have as many cards as you want, which is unseen. You're recommended to play with 60 because you have a better chance of getting the cards you need to do different things in the game. There's so many factors that come into play. There's different colors that you make your decks around, which are shown in the characters itself. But there's so many different character combos and color combos that go together to make the decks to do different abilities. This is all hands-on. You make the deck with cards like that you buy. You can buy singles from people, which is cards they open from packs and then resell to shops. You can buy sleeves that you sleeve the cards with. That way you don't damage them when you're shuffling them to at least draw from your deck and then play the cards. Because you shuffle your whole deck up at the beginning of the game and then you draw only seven. And that's what you have to work with until the next round when you get to draw one. So it's all random, and that's why you build your deck to draw certain cards. But yes, it is all in person and with your hands, just so it's easier to buy. And people like holding what they spend their a lot of money on. So you spend like $200 on a card, you're like, this is really cool. Sometimes you may not want to play it, and you may just show people what's cool about it.
So can you describe like booster packs or how you can increase the value of your team or whatever you're building, your deck?
So usually booster box, it's really hard for us to set a price because there was a whole pack shortage and box shortage with the company Ravensburger that made the card game. And so a lot of online sellers actually made the market go so far up that boxes were sitting at $400 to $500 just for 24 packs, which usually the MSRP is like $150 to $160. So they really jumped the prices up because of the popularity of the Disney brand and the game itself because it's new. But it's really cool because you can crack a pack if you can get it for the right price, about $4 to $6. And there's cards in it that are more rare than others. So you have your main card, and then you have an alternate card called the Enchanted Cards. So those are, it's like one out of every 900 that's a random number. Like, you basically, your chances of pulling one are really, really difficult. And so they're pumped up in price because they're cooler versions of what your main cards look like. And some people just like to spice their decks up to make it look like they've spent more money to make it look better. It doesn't do anything in the game, but as a person, you look like you know what you're doing and you've spent money on the game.
Well, that's where I'm going. Okay, so we have our 60 cards, mm-hmm. and we're sitting across the table from someone who plays. I've maybe kept back the more expensive ones. What do I do? How do we start? What's the first step as I'm sitting there looking at you across the table saying, all right, let's play?
So something cool about this is you actually use D20s, which are used in D&D, and you roll off and see who gets...
What does that mean? What is D20?
So Dungeons & Dragons is a role-playing game,
right?
And you use tons of different dice in it. I believe it's about 7 to 9 dice, depending on the person you're playing with.
But D20...
A D20 is a 20-sided dice that has 1 to 20 on the numbers. You can actually go up to a D100, which is a 1 to 100. So there's tons of dice, but they chose that you use D6, which is a 6-sided dice, and a D20, which is a 20-sided dice. So you each roll off the 20-sided dice, and whoever gets the highest number gets to go first. And then you can also play not just one by one, but you can play with three other people that have a pot of four. And so then you all roll off a D20 to see who gets the highest number between all four of you, and that decides who goes first. And after that, it goes counterclockwise. But that's a whole other part of the game that you can play with four people. It plays just like Magic. Magic is a four-player game that you can play Commander with. So they wanted to implement the two-player and then the four-player as well. But you basically, whoever wins that roll-off, you draw seven, and then you decide in your opening hand, you know, what you want to play first. And so then it is officially your turn. And then you get to draw a card from the top of your deck, and it just gives you one more card to play with. So there's cards that have this thing called ink, and it's on the top left corner. It has a more yellowish, there's a number and then a yellowish border. You can tell that's the card that's inkable. So you take that and you show your opponent, this is inkable. You'll put it face down in your ink zone, and then you can play cards for how much ink you have for the ink value. So let's say you have three cards face down in your ink zone. You have a card that says three on it. You can tap all of those, which just means moving them to the side, and then play the card for three. So how they envision that is you have this whole just pad of ink, and you're using it to create these characters. So you're playing as the artist, as the person who's playing the game, and you're creating these stories. So there's cards that are called just, you know, the normal story cards, like your Mickey Mouse. And then you have like a Floodborn, which is like, oh man, so much ink went into this. There's so much design. So it's like things like Fantasia Mickey that has all these different things. And then there's other things that are just made up that it's like, what if Mickey Mouse was in Aladdin? So they're doing that so they can have that sense of their own, plus the Disney brand itself.
Yeah, you're using terms like ink that I didn't know if that was part of the card gaming world or if it's, you know, it goes along with this game. But it sounds like this terminology is matched for this game, right?
Yes. So in Lorcana, we call it ink. So it's your what you use to play different cards. In Pokemon, it's energy cards, which are just one-colored cards that allow you to play different cards and allow you to do different attacks with your Pokemon. In Magic, it's called land. You play the land, and then you tap that land to play certain cards that it tells you at the top corners, you know, which land you want to play, what colors you need. So with Lorcana, it just gives you a number, and then you have to take cards from your hand and then put those into the ink zone. But when they're in the ink zone, you don't get to use them again. Those are permanently used to then play other cards.
All right, now, I'm used to playing cards in a different world. Sometimes you win tricks, sometimes you lose tricks. Are you facing a situation where you maybe lose some of your cards that you've put on the table?
So you will not lose a single card you bring to a game. That is, a lot of parents come in here and ask, if my kid's going to play Pokemon, are they going to lose their cards? No. You don't lose your cards, you just lose the game. So okay. The objective of the game is to get 20 lore. So the lore is your story. So certain cards will say, tap this card and get lore. So during your step, you can tap them, and then your lore counter will go up. And so you're racing against your opponent to who gets 20 lore first, because it's Disney. You can't kill the other players. You don't want to, you know, get rid of Mickey Mouse. No, Mickey Mouse just loses this story. He doesn't get the good ending. So you're racing to 20 points to see who can get to 20 first. And so that's your goal, is you're racing to the top. And there's other cards that take people's lore away. So you're like, hey, you just got three. I'm actually going to take that back. And you tap three of your ink to bring the three away.
So it sounds like it's incorporating a lot of the whole Disney element of creativity, creating new characters, interacting with these characters, plus the storytelling and the stories that you're building with these characters that you're creating.
Yes, it is very much so about just creating a new sense and making a story. Some of the people who play are actually huge Disney like fans. They wear their ears whenever they play, or they bring all their memorabilia. They really enjoy creating a story of their own.
Well, let's talk about the brand then. I'm guessing this is a pretty popular game. How much product do you guys go through?
So we ordered, I want to say, 90 to 100 boxes, which is, I mean, you can do that math, 24. That is thousands of packs. And the company itself that makes the game was like, oh, we don't realize how popular this was going to be. And so they just shorted everyone's shipment. So everyone got maybe 10 to 12 boxes that they could work with. And so then you're dealing with, oh, well, people pre-ordered product. People wanted this product. How am I supposed to get this out? And so what they said is, well, we're very community-based, so we want you to run tournaments, to run events, and that's how people are going to get their product. So for the first, I want to say, couple months, this is still brand new. The game's only been out for a month or two. But for our first, I want to say, two quarters, we are going to get product, and then if you join in tournaments or events, then that's how you win the product, is you pay an entry fee, you get two packs, for example, and at the end, you're allowed to buy one pack. You're thinking, three packs a week, that's not that good. Would you rather spend the $15 to get three packs or go online and spend up to $20 a pack because no one's able to get this amount of product? And the way that the company did it is that any store that just classified themselves as a game store was in the, you get 6 to 12 boxes. So even stores that weren't like us, who was more community-based, who just looking to make money, they just sold their stuff right away to people who went online to resell it. And so it's been hard to get product for us, and people are always asking, hey, do you have Lorcana? Hey, do you have Lorcana? And it sucks to say no, we do, but we don't want to sell it to you because we want to make, one, our community bigger, and if you get more tournaments and stuff and you register it through their website, you're actually allocated more product in the future. And so that's how we're going to get it in the future.
So, is it Ravensburger? Is that what the name?
I know it's Ravens something.
I didn't know if it was Ravens or Ravens.
No, nope, so, it's Ravens.
They had never created a card game before. They're a toy company based out of Germany, is mm-hmm. what I read. Do you think they just kind of got in over their head a little bit?
They have a great idea. They have a great brand, but I do believe that they just did not have all the right things to do to make a card game. There's so many companies out there that could have helped them or give them kind of insight, but as a board game toy making company, they really struggled with making enough product to distribute. The cards are nice, they're great quality, but to make enough to satisfy people's needs, making a card game, you got to know who you're selling to, and knowing that these customers are going to want to buy packs and packs and packs, if you're only going to make a little bit of packs, then it's hard to make money and it's hard to sell to stores that want to make the money.
Tell us a little bit about the gaming community. We hear a lot of activity here at Zeke's Comics and Games, again in Washington, Illinois, and I think on certain nights you have different games. Describe this community for people who aren't aware.
So we have three main card games at the shop, Yu-Gi-Oh!, Magic, and Pokemon. Yu-Gi-Oh!'s play on Wednesdays, and Magic plays on Fridays, and then Pokemon plays on Saturdays. So all those card games are different, and that's why we have them on different days. Because if Magic and Pokemon sat down together, then there's going to be a lot of clashing on, oh, well, you're not playing what I'm playing, you're not playing what I'm playing. They're not really, they don't hate each other, but it's hard to sit. It's hard to go Pokemon, Magic, Pokemon when they're all sitting next to each other and look over. Do you know the rule? I don't know. I'm not playing your game.
The Jets and the Sharks.
Yes.
But there's also other games going on here. There's not just card games. I think Warhammer is taking place behind you. People paint little figures and castles and things.
Yes.
How long before, you know, it'd be cool if Disney were to get into that realm as well, I think.
So Disney has some, not sponsored by them, but at least some miniature games where it's board games with the miniatures. It's hard. Right now, the main competitors of our miniature games are things like Asmodee and Games Workshop, who own like Warhammer and then the new Shatterpoint game for Star Wars that just came out. But the Disney is not any official tabletop game where it's you have your board, but you have no rules. They make more of the board games that you get little miniatures that are Disney-themed. For example, Talisman just had a Disney-ish game come out where there's, you know, Mickey Mouse is in there and Goofy, but it's also mixed with Kingdom Hearts. And so there's the Kingdom Hearts figures like the Keystar and stuff like that. I don't play a lot of those games, so I don't know as much, but I just know I saw those, and it's more, you don't have to paint them, but they give you the miniatures to give you a 3D replication of any of the pieces that you want to use in the game.
So what does it mean to win the game? Is there ever a winner, or is this just an ongoing, you play it for as long as you want? And
every game has its differences. So we'll start with card games. For Pokemon, you have 6 prize cards, and the first one to knock out 6 Pokemon or get all 6 prize cards first, that's how they win the game. For Magic, at least for Commander, which is 100 cards, you have 40 life, and you basically get knocked down life, and once you hit 0 life, you lose, and the person who's still standing wins. Yu-Gi-Oh! I actually don't play Yu-Gi-Oh!, so that's the one game I don't know how. But for games, workshop games like 40K and Sigmar, you have objective games that you play, and whoever gets the most points at the end wins. So there's objectives on the table. You do actions to claim the objectives. For example, you have 2 actions per turn. You use one of those to claim an objective. Or you can just play a fight to the death where whoever has the least models at the end loses the game. So you can make stuff up. You can do fun stuff like that, fun scenarios. But there's a lot of ways to win all these games.
When's our fight to the death podcast? I'm excited for this.
So I'm just going to read from DisneyLorcana.com. It's an immersive trading card game. Wield magic inks and the power of Lorcana to assemble your team of Disney characters. Some characters will be familiar friends. Others will be fantastically reimagined. Is it a fun family game, and can you see this being extremely popular this year?
If I can see more product on shelves and more product in local comic stores, then I think this game could be huge. We already have families that come in and play on Saturday nights when we play it, and it's parents that want to play a card game, and their kids are, hey, look, it's Mickey Mouse. They could care less if they're playing the game, but it's a thing to do together as a family. That's not just a sit-at-home board game. You can go out and do it with people. I think if the company was able to send more product to local stores like us and anything else that's not like a huge brand, then there could be more hands in the consumers, like families that actually want to play the game and not make the money. So if we can get more local shops to run events and give cards out, I think that's the best way to get families involved.
Yeah, and it's pure speculation at this point, but I'm wondering if Disney is going to at some point be not upset, but kind of step in and somehow say, hey, we've got something here. Let's get a move on it and maybe bring in another vendor, or how, depending on what the licensing is structured like.
I do hope so, because they have, one, they have a way to make a lot of money, and right now they're selling their product at MSRP, and other people are making more money than they are. So I feel like if the money starts to get lost, that could make them mad. But I do hope that one day they step in, or at least Ravensburger steps in and does something about what's happening and sends product allocation better. But that's going to take time because you still need to print the cards and make new sets, because there's only one set and there's a new set coming out in November. So you need to make consistent sets, but also have enough product to give out and get people excited for these new and upcoming things.
It almost sounds like a Christmas 2012 issue where there was no Frozen product available for purchase. And then they realized, oh, we could be making a little bit of money here with the Frozen product. So let's get it out.
When you have a good idea, you really need to take the risk and put a lot to it. I feel like if they would have printed just way more than they would have ever imagined they could have made, then I probably guess it could all sell, because this game really took off and they weren't expecting it. When you have a brand like Disney and a card game as popular as Lorcana that's a mix of so many popular card games, they really had a good idea and enough resources they could have done something cool, and yet they fell through that. But if they can get it up, then I think this could really become a big thing.
Why don't you tell us where you're located online?
So our website is ZeeksComicsAndGames.com. That is ZeeksComicsAndGames.com. ZeeksComicsAndGames.com. We sell product online, and we can ship to you. But the best way to see us is come into the store and say hi.
Yeah, and obviously they have games happening, and you sell brand new comics, and you've got a nice little backlog as well. So, Palmer Snell, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks
we
for
appreciate
having me.
It. All right, that's going to do it for this week. Make sure you email us, podcast@thehyperionhub.com. You can follow us on social media, and wherever you're listening to us, please subscribe, and also please rate and review. Have a great week, everybody.
We're glad you could join us. We'd love to hear from you. You can email or send us a recorded audio message at podcast@thehyperionhub.com. Find us on social media on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. The Hyperion Hub is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or its subsidiaries. We'll meet you next time at the Hyperion Hub.